All righty. Well, unfortunately, Pastor Ron couldn't be here this morning, but he sends his love. He's watching his eldest son, Josiah, play his first collegiate tournament in baseball. So he sends his well wishes and his blessings. So I get to share this morning, and I'm super excited. But the cool thing is, you know, Pastor Ron's gone, so we can have a little bit of fun, okay? So let's kind of loosen up a little bit. I woke up this morning. I said, I'm going to grab every piece of denim I've got, and I'm going to throw it on, and we'll see what happens. So I'm excited this morning. Come on now. I'm excited. And so we're going to start a new series today. It's called Excel. And God wants us as a church to excel in things this year. To excel. That's the root word of to be excellent. And so our first scripture where we're doing this series from is 2 Corinthians 8 through 7. And it says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you may abound in the grace of giving also. So today we're going to talk about faith. Talk about faith. Now, if you're like me, you know, pastor, son, grown up in the church, I've probably heard 45 to 50 messages on faith, okay? And so it's kind of a thrown around word, but I think it's kind of misused. I think it's kind of, oh yeah, I have faith, and you know, but it can be very passive, or it can almost even be depressing. Oh, I have faith that God's going to do what God's going to do, right? But today, I really think God's given us a fresh perspective, a new look on faith, and what is faith, and how does it apply to us? And the truth is, God has called us as a church to excel in faith, that where we're going to go and where God has called us to go this year and in this next couple years, we're going to need some tremendous faith. In fact, even last year, we had to have tremendous faith to still have a church, to still be meeting in this building and have so many beautiful faces loving and praising God. And so, but we need faith. We need to be excellent in faith. And so let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Father, thank you for just being the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, thank you that this isn't a try harder message. This isn't a we need to do more. This is a we need more of you message. And God, we honor you today. It's not about us. It's all about you. And Lord, I pray honestly that we would have a repentant, faith-filled heart where we would empty ourselves this morning and we'd receive whatever it is you have to speak to us. Lord, help me not hinder your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Pastor Ron did such a great job. You know, he hasn't missed, since I've been here, he has not missed a Sunday. And he's preached some phenomenal messages, but last week was probably my favorite because he lived it. He was so vulnerable. He lived the message of grace. You could tell that God was doing a deep work within him and in this church. And so this week, as I was preparing for faith, I was like, God, I want to live faith. I want to live this message. And God was like, okay, I'm going to stir some stuff up. And so God started showing me how I have, you know, sometimes been positive, but I've had really a lack of fundamental faith in my own life. And God started to really convict me and saying, you know what, Ben, you're not approaching me with faith. You're kind of approaching me with a maintaining kind of mindset. And then I also had to battle a bunch of discouragement. Not bad things happening. Carrie the Love was here. We had a great time on campus. People got saved. I mean, it was amazing. It was so awesome. And they're so great. But God was really doing something in me and restoring faith in me. And also, I was dealing with a lot of discouragement, spiritual discouragement, nothing to do with physical. Everything was going great, but I was coming against a lot of spiritual discouragement. And God was saying, Ben, I'm going to teach you how to walk in faith. I'm going to teach you how to walk in faith. And I want to talk real quick. There's two types of faith, I believe. And there's really two levels of faith. And so the first one, which I struggle with a lot, but you know, I feel like being, you know, in ministry a little bit, I'm starting to get the hang of this one, is having faith for miracles. Okay, so it takes a lot of faith to go up to somebody who's on crutches or in a wheelchair and say, I want to pray for you. It takes faith. It takes faith. But that is just level one. Level two is saying, God, even if you don't heal this person, I still have faith that you are good. And I still have faith that you have the ability to heal. And so yes, we want to stir us up today to have level one faith. Go out, do amazing things for God. But we also want to talk about that level two faith. Faith when prayers don't get answered. Prayer or faith when circumstances don't turn out the way that you want them to. In fact, if you look at the Bible, yes, it's a story of answered prayer, but there's stories of unanswered prayers. Some of the mightiest men and women in the Bible had unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers. And so why does God do that? Why does God say, have faith in me, have faith, have this positive, expectant hope and desire, but at the same time, sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers, even if they're good prayers, right? So let's look at faith. So I would be remiss without putting in the ultimate faith verse. And when I was preparing for this, I was like, I really don't want to put Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 in here. Because every faith message has this verse, but I have to do it because it's the best definition. So let's look at that real quick. So Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things invisible. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that heaven and earth were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And so faith is very complicated. There's seven observations I feel like the Lord has for us today about faith, seven. And so the first one is faith is hopeful. Faith is positive. Faith is, there is an expectancy that God is good, that in the land of the living we will see the goodness of God. So faith is not just like a knuckled endurance. There is a hope. There's a positivity to it. Faith is hopeful. Faith relates to both the visible and the invisible. It's visible. We see things. We see the goodness of God. We experience things, but it's also invisible, right? And it just, you know, in the verse we just read, it said that by faith, the elders, they realized that, guess what? The things in earth were created by the invisible. There's another realm we do not see. So faith is visible. Faith is invisible. Faith has to do with the past. I love, like, God has moved mightily. The present, I know God will do, can move and will move. And in the future, I know that God has a plan for me, a future and a hope. So faith is complicated. Past, present, future. Faith is logical. If we really serve a good God, and he is who he claims who he is, then faith is logical. I can have faith in him. But it's also just a little bit, not mystical, maybe is the wrong word, but it's a little bit abstract. What is faith? How do I get this faith? How do I grow this faith? Who gives me faith? So faith is very, very, very logical, but very mystical at the same time. Faith is active. Faith requires actions. But faith can also seem very passive. What if God has you in a holding pattern? The Bible is full of holding patterns where God says, I'm going to give you a promise for 40 years later, and I'm going to hold you in this holding pattern. So faith is active, that I'm going to choose to step out and act in faith today, but it's also, it can seem really passive. Faith is complicated. Faith is not easy. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is active. It's taking that first step, even when you don't know what's coming. Number six, obedience in faith is God's love language. Rebecca Dew, my sister, told me last night that faith aligns us with the will of God. It's powerful. It's like God's currency. About 8 years ago, when I was at the University of Hawaii, I dated this girl from New York. Okay, and I don't know if anybody's dated anybody from New York, but it's just a little different, okay? Come on, Debbie. So I dated this girl from New York. It was a little different. And so I was, you know, I'm from the South, then grew up on the mission field, and she was from New York. And so we had very different what we'd call love languages, okay? So the way I express love is I'll tell you about it, and you'll probably feel me in some way. Shoulder, hug. If I really like you, I'm going to touch you and I'm going to tell you, okay? And she was not like this at all. She wanted to spend time with you, but she wanted to serve. She liked to serve. So she didn't want to touch or talk, but she would just bring me food or do my laundry. And it was just, okay, cool. But like that doesn't, it doesn't, like it's good, but like just sit down and talk to me and touch me, right? So like that's, you know, that's, that was my love language. So there was a little bit of a miscommunication there. You know what I mean? And so God's love language is faith. You know, we can be, God, I'm serving you. I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm trying to be this and trying to be that. But God's like, no, you're not doing with any faith. It doesn't mean anything. Well, it's still good, but it's not, you're not communicating to God the way we need to, And so, praise God, I'm courting a young lady, Ashley, and our love languages are exactly the same. So thank you, Jesus. She listens to all my sermons, so she loves when I give her a shout out. So maybe got 3 or 4 more. Just got to get those brownie points while I can, you know. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And 7, I love this one. Faith is built for opposition. Faith is not for the good times. Faith is for the tough times. If everything is going well in my life or in your life, you really don't need a lot of faith. If you got money in the bank, tons of friends, dream job, every single person you talk to is getting healed and saved, and you don't need faith. But that's not the world we live in. So faith exists not for the good times, but for the bad times. And yes, in the good times, we can cultivate faith and we can grow faith, but faith is built for opposition. So I was just discipling this young guy. He's a FSU walk-on on the football team, and we work out really early, like 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's hard. It's hard, Lord. But anyway, so we do Bible studies. I say, listen, you can come to my gym for free, but you got to let me take you through a Bible study. And I was kind of sharing this week a little bit about this message, and he said, well, Ben, why do we even pray then? Like, if God doesn't answer our prayers sometimes, why do we pray? If God's going to do what God's going to do, why even pray? Right? And it was so funny because I was thinking like, okay, you know, that's actually kind of logical. It's like, you know, why would we pray? Why would we have faith if God's going to do what God's going to do? But it was so funny because I realized that that question was, it was so in the core of each person. Why should I pray? Why should I go to church? Why should I do these things? And that's how I think people they go through the motions. And it's because their faith is in circumstances, not in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Is your faith in the good things that God can, will, or may do, or is it in the solid fact that Jesus Christ died for you? What is your faith in this morning? And so what is the object of your faith? And that's what I think really God wants to stir up in us. And I know, okay, we're a smart church. We understand this in our mind, but do we understand it in here? Because for me, it's so easy to think, you know what? Well, if God blessed Pastor Ron with a wife and 3 boys and this and that, then if God does that for him, isn't he going to do that for me? Right? Or if God, you know, is, you know, blessing somebody or their prayers are getting answered, isn't God going to do that for me? I remember in Israel one time, I was with Abigail, and we saw this Jewish guy, and he was in a wheelchair. And we both felt stirred to go pray for him. And we went and we went to go pray for him. And Abby tried to lay hands on him. And he said, don't touch me. Because, you know, he was a traditional Orthodox Jew and women couldn't touch him. And so anyway, that's a whole other side thing. But we prayed for him and God didn't heal him. That I know of at the moment. And I remember thinking, God, like what? Like why would you ask me to pray for somebody if, you know, you're not going to answer it? I remember one time I was flying on a plane from Houston to Orlando at the time. And this little girl was having a seizure in front of me. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, pray for the little girl. I want to heal her. He didn't say I'm going to, he said, I want to heal her. So I did. It was kind of awkward. I just, listen, I know you guys are going through like a medical emergency right now. Like they're about to like force land, but can I pray for your daughter? I prayed, like I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt all the right feelings that I felt when I, you know, pray for healing, but nothing happened. The girl still was having a seizure. And I was beat myself up so much. I was like, God, is my faith too small? Is my faith too little? And I remember God speaking to me. He said, Ben, he said, I did this in you to increase your faith so your faith would be in me, not in circumstances. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. So real quick, let's look at Paul the Apostle. And we'll be in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So in verse 7, it says, even though, this is Paul speaking, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, we can just stop right there. Pride is the number one enemy of a walk with Jesus. Pride. And so God as a good father will do anything he can to rid us of pride. Anything. Because he loves us so much. So he says, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't say abundant. He said sufficient. The grace of God was not abundant. It was sufficient. Now, if you have finances and you're doing a monthly budget, you realize there's a huge difference between abundance of finances and sufficient finances. Like, how are you doing this month? Well, it's sufficient. All the bills will be paid, and I'll be eating ramen noodles for the rest of the month. There's a huge difference between abundant and sufficient. So God said, you wanted this prayer, this good thing, this blessing, this whatever, but I'm not giving you this. I'm giving you something better, sufficient grace. So God didn't give him what he wanted. He gave him grace. My power works best in weakness. So Paul's speaking, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may work or can work through me. That's why I take pleasure, that's a powerful word, pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What was Paul saying? So we look at the life of Paul, and he was beaten so much, thrown in prison so much. All these terrible things happened to him. And don't you think that he prayed every single time, Lord, please help him not whip me 39 times today. Lord, help him not stone me today. Lord, can you please help him not try to kill me today? Don't you think Paul prayed that? Don't you think Paul was like, wow, like God, like your goodness, your mercy. I'm reading about King David. I know your promises. I know that you have, you know, in your presence is pleasure and fullness of joy. But God, can I please not get beaten with a cane today? Like that'd be really cool, God. Right? Like I'm even doing your mission. I'm doing what you've called me to do. I'm being obedient in faith. It'd be really cool if I would not get whipped today. Do me a solid one, God. Right? And then on top of that, this thorn comes in the flesh, and scholars have, you know, debated and thought, what was this thorn? And because Paul didn't mention it, let's not waste any time there. Paul didn't tell us what the thorn was, but he told us why the thorn was given. Right? To keep him from becoming proud. And so each one of us in our own way, the Lord in his love and tender mercy will give us a thorn in our flesh to keep us from being proud, right? But Paul, sometimes the closer you get to God, the less of your prayers get answered. It's crazy. I don't understand that. But it's because God is more glorified and we actually have more faith when God doesn't answer our prayers. Sometimes and when God does answer our prayers. Okay, and so let's break this down a little bit more, but hopefully we're starting to get a little picture here. So there's a Christmas, one of my friends, they have three small kids and two little boys and a girl who's like six, and the boys are like one and two. And so for Christmas, they got the boys like these huge like trucks, like you drive, like the little cars. And the boys were freaking out. And they got the little girl. They kind of ran out of time, but they got her a gift card for like $200 at Toys R Us. It was a while ago. See you, Toys R Us. But anyway, so the boys were loving it, and the girl was distraught. She was crying. She was like, why didn't I get anything? Because obviously for little kids, bigger is better, right? And so she didn't get the gift card, and the parents said, no. Like, we'll take you tomorrow, and you can get whatever you want. Right? But the little girl, to no avail, was crying and hurt. And so anyway, the parents the next day, they took the little girl to the store, Toys R Us, and they let her get whatever she wanted. They felt so bad, they loaded it up with stuff. And so they probably spent, I think, like $600 on this girl. And so this little girl didn't get what she wanted, but she got what she needed. She didn't get the removal of the thorn in the flesh, if it was Paul. She got grace. And every Christmas after that, the little girl, all she ever wanted was a gift card. Because she realized there's some spending power here. That is, if I wait, if I'll be patient, if I'll wait on the Lord, there's so much better. So in this scripture, it should be so encouraging. It's not, what is going to God do for me today or tomorrow? What is God going to do for me in eternity? What has he already done with his finished work on the cross? See, when God says, I have sufficient grace for you, Paul realized, I'll pray three times, that's it, it's done. You know what? I'm okay with this thorn in the flesh because God is building faith in me, and I have sufficient grace, grace from Jesus, to overcome anything, any obstacle in my path. Amen? This is hard. This is a hard message, but it's awesome. Hebrews 11:30, verse 40. Now, there's two groups of people we're going to look at. Now, these are all heroes of faith. This is the chapter of faith. They call this the Hall of Faith, like the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. There's two groups of people, and they're both heroes of faith. Let's look at group number one. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the enemy. Women received their dead raised to life again. I want to be part of this group. When they prayed, God said, yes, glory to God, boom, I'm answering your prayers. That's group number one. I want to be part of that group. Here's group number two. And this is mid-verse. It's not even like the next verse. It's mid-verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promises of Jesus. God having provided something better for us now, that they should not be made perfect apart from what Jesus did. There's two types of heroes of faith. There's one, promises get answered. CEOs of companies, successful families, successful marriages. Just, oh my gosh, just kicking down doors. It's just unbelievable. Then there's a group over here. The world's not worthy of this group, though. That they pray for stuff doesn't happen. Homeless, beat, destitute, martyred, killed. Paul the Apostle was in this group. I mean, you have like Abraham and Solomon and maybe King David or a couple other, you know, over in this group. But you have Paul the Apostle and many others in this group, right? And so the truth is that our faith, if our faith is just in what happens, our circumstances, it's not really true faith. Because God says, I want you to have faith in me. That's the currency that I use. That's the language that I speak, whether good things happen to you or bad things happen to you. Faith is supposed to transcend circumstances. And I know it's so easy to compare. Why is life seemingly easier for others than for me? Why is life easier for someone else? Or why do I struggle with addiction? Or why do I struggle? Why are my kids, or why is my, you know, spouse or my parents, or why can't I seem to catch a break? And I'm not talking about different spiritual warfare that we come up against that God wants us to overcome. I'm talking about, why are my prayers not getting answered? And it's so easy to lose faith because faith in circumstances will eventually fail. But faith in God will never fail. The amount of faith we have does not determine our circumstances. Therefore, our circumstances should not determine our faith. Say it one more time. The amount of faith we have does not determine our circumstances. Therefore, our circumstances should not determine our faith. Listen, I was in Houston. They have a church there called Lakewood. They meet in the Toyota Center, which is a massive basketball center. You know, it's Joel Osteen. There's 50,000 people there every Sunday. Okay? They've got just tons of people getting saved, all the money that, you know, they could ever use for ministry, and they use it well. But they're kicking butt. But in this church, we're fighting for something. But we're not different. It's not like Joel and them have more faith than we do. It's that the mission that God's called them to looks different than ours. But if we compare ourselves with that church or any other church, we'll lose faith in circumstances and we'll attribute it to God. God has called us to have faith in Him. Faith in Him. Paul, when he was writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, he kept emphasizing that, listen, I'm not using persuasive words. I'm not even doing a lot of miracles. All I know is Christ and Him crucified. That's all I know. That's all I know. My faith is in that. It's not in what God does, the miracles, the words, the preaching. That's all circumstantial. My faith is in what Jesus did for me and in Christ alone. And that's true faith. And that's the faith that God has called us to live in. In Matthew 29, Jesus, just like Paul, he prayed three times. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, and this is Jesus. This isn't me, this isn't you, this isn't Paul, this isn't anybody else. This is Jesus, like God in the flesh. He prayed to God the Father, and he said, God, please take this cup away from me. Three times. Prayed that three times. Jesus did. Jesus prayed that three times. He said, Jesus, I have faith in you, but these circumstances suck. Terrible. Why do I have to go through this? Why does my grandmother have cancer? Why this? Why that, Lord? I have faith in you, but you don't seem like a very good God right now. Jesus prayed that three times. Said, Jesus, take this cup away from me. But then he finished it and he said, listen, he said, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. Faith is built for opposition. Faith is not built for when everything's going smoothly. Faith is built for opposition. Jesus needed faith. Not my will, but your will be done. Hebrews 10:19-23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. It's got to be the linchpin of our faith. It's got to be the foundation of our faith. It's got to be that I know, hell or high water, I can be in the will of God and terrible things are happening to me. I can, you know, King David, man, he was out fighting the battles that God had called him to fight. And he came home and the Amalekites and the Midianites had came and they had taken all of him and his men's wife and kids and they'd burned his hometown to the ground, or where he was staying, to the ground. And they burned to the ground. In that time, it was a nice way of saying when they took wives and kids, women and children, evil men who didn't worship God, they did evil things to those women and children. And so when David got back with his mighty men, they were so mad, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him to death, right? And so he's in the will of God, and literally, I don't think you could come up with a worse scenario. Like, not only is everything bad happening, but your best friends now want to kill you. That's pretty serious. And what does David do? He separates himself, and it says he encourages himself in the Lord. He encourages himself in the Lord. Faith is active, but can seem passive. What did he encourage himself on? God, thanks for my wife. Oh. God, thanks for my house. Oh. God, thanks for my best friends. Oh. God, thanks that we're conquering everybody. Oh. What did he encourage himself in? It was God-given faith. He encouraged himself in God, that the word of God was still true, and that God could still conquer, and that God could still do what he promised. And what did he do? Not only did he encourage himself, he rallied all of those men, the men, the same men that wanted to kill him. He had so much faith in God, he rallied them, and they got everything back. And the place where God wants us to be is like, it's in the book of Daniel. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't have time to turn there today. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were living in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king, said, listen, the state religion is now idolatry. You must worship me. You must worship the idols that look like me. You know, it was a form of nationalism, whatever. But he said, you must worship idols. And these three guys, they said, we will never worship you. And he said, well, I'm going to throw you in the fire. I'm going to burn you in the furnace. And they said, you know what? You can burn us. Our God can deliver us. But here's the power. Even if he doesn't, we'll never bow the knee. That's the church that God has called us to be. I believe that God is going to do amazing things in Tallahassee, that hundreds and thousands are going to come to him, and our campus ministries are going to explode. Youth is going to explode. And we're going to have so many marriages and relationships and children running around here. And I believe, and I believe, I believe. But even if he doesn't, I didn't come to Tallahassee for what God can do, but who he is. And that's what God has for us. I don't come to church because I think God is going to make me feel good because I got a front row of good-looking dudes. I don't come because I think butts are going to be in seats or my favorite songs are going to get played, or even if I get to preach, I don't want to preach. I want to see Jesus glorified. And his faith has got to be in him, because if it's not in him, what are we doing? Because circumstances will fail you, but God will never fail you. Even if I get burned to death, even if, I'll pray that I won't, but even if I do, I will never bow the knee. I will never bend the knee. I will never turn from my God, because it's in the finished work of Jesus. It's not in what's happening in my life. And the cool thing is that it says that God gives us a measure of faith. We don't have to like, okay, well, crap, I need faith. Let me try to put my faith on today. It says God gives each person a measure of faith. So God says, you need faith. I'm going to give it to you. You just have to activate it. Amen. You just have to activate it. And so God is taking care of everything. And what I really don't want to happen is you guys say, okay, this is a great message, and okay, have faith, rah, rah, rah. But then live your life without faith. So for me, it's so easy to get to the point where, yeah, I have faith in God, mental assent, got it. But why? But I'm still worried, stressed out, anxious, because I'm still I'm trying to be in control of my life. Does that make sense? So today I want to close, and I want us to really give God the areas we've not been walking in faith, and say, God, these circumstances, my future husband, my future wife, my degree, what I'm going to do after college, you know, my family. I want us to give the Lord these things, and really put our hearts and put our faith back in Jesus alone. And I'm going to join you, because this is for all of us. Okay, so if we could dim the lights and we could have the keyboardist please come up. Thank you, Mr. Corey. Let's just bow our heads. And the altar's open. If you need to come up, come up. But let's just get in a moment before God. God, I repent for not putting my faith in you, for going through the motions, for saying I have faith in you, but then measuring it by what happens to me and doubting you when bad things happen. Lord, I repent for comparing my fruit with others. Lord, for thinking I know better than you, even for criticizing your direction. Lord, I repent. And Father, we repent as a church. Lord, we put our faith in you and you alone, that come hell or high water, you're all we want. I want everyone here just to picture in their mind the thing that's holding them back from really walking in faith. Whatever expectation, whatever dream it is, whatever job, whatever relationship, whatever it is, I want you to just picture whatever it is that's holding you back from really walking in faith to God alone. I want you to hold it in your hands. And then I want you to just imagine yourself walking into the throne room of Jesus and laying it at his feet. Saying, God, I give you this anxiety. I give you this depression. Lord, I give you this relationship. I give you this job. I give you this degree. I give you this whatever. Just give to him. Then God is going to touch you with his love and with faith, and he's going to put faith in us today. So Lord, as we lay these things down, I pray that you'd forgive us. Lord, I pray that you would come be with us, and I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would encourage everyone. Everyone in this room would get encouraged, and that faith would rise up in them like a bubbling spring. That there would even be joy, a new joy. Right now, everyone, you guys may even start giggling a little bit. It's okay. The joy of the Lord is going to come in this room. Lord, thank you that your joy is our strength. Lord, we celebrate you. We thank you. We worship you. Lord, we lay aside every entanglement that would distract us or pull us from you. Lord, we have faith in you alone. And it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. We will be obedient to the call. So we praise you. We praise you. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, and it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit, it was God was tugging on your heart this morning, and you need to get right with God. You're not right with God. This is the time. We approach God with faith that he is good, that he is who he says he is. So every eye closed, if that was you, if you just need to get right with God, just put your hand up real quick. Yeah. Amen. 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 Good. Put your hand up. Come see me. You're one of the prayer team after the service. We'd love to pray with you and lead you into a prayer, getting right with God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray you would bless everybody in this room. We bless your name, and I pray a blessing on your people, that we'd be free from condemnation, free from fear, free from anxiety, free from depression. Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. God wants to set people free right now. If you'll give it to him, he'll take it. If you'll give it to Jesus, he'll take it. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. If you need prayer, come down to the front afterwards. Come see us. We'd love to pray for you. Thank you, everybody. That'll conclude our service. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday. We love you. God bless you.